irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. It's always fun to have great friends that I've known for years and great musicians, and just it's always good to have like a little bit of a reunion, which we're having here. My very dear friend Jim Stubblefield is in studio with another one of my great people, Bo Astrup, and we're going to talk about his latest album that came out, Guitar Mystique. And it's an interesting this is going to be an interesting show because it's one on the chances for us to take a look at it from, as I put in the post, from concept to completion, so we can actually take a look at the whole creative process. And I want to welcome both of you guys. It's really great to have you guys on the show. It's just amazing to have you.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And real quick, I want to, before I play the first clip, which will kind of give you an idea, because I think that one of the things I've always liked about Jim, and also what you guys also do with Incendio and JP and Lisa too, is you're always pushing the barriers and you're always raising the bar. And every album that I've heard, you do more interesting things and you just kind of push it up, whether it's sonically, whether it's performance-wise, and just the sounds that you're getting. And there's some really interesting things on this album, which we're going to take a look at, because he's using all sorts of stuff. They're using a little bit more electric guitars, but it's in a subtle way. And this record is more orchestrated in the sense that the way all the parts, at least what I'm hearing, it's blended more. It's more, you know, it's not just, okay, here's a rhythm section, I'm going to play some guitar, and here's a melody, and I'm going to, I'm going to improvise. It's more involved. And I want to start out, before I play the first clip, is I wanted you to talk a little bit about where you were coming from for this next album. What did you want to accomplish? You know what I mean? What were you going for?
I think my concept behind this is because I've been writing music for my various solo projects as well as my contributions to my band Incendio for going on 25 years. I thought, well, you know, why don't I try to just do some different things? Maybe get away from the nylon string guitar as the main voice. Use a lot more colors in terms of synthesizers, electric piano, viola, violin, and a lot of psychoacoustic kind of sounds. And not worry as much about being a guitar-driven record as opposed to what is the song call for, in terms of maybe I wrote a melody where the melody would sound better being a bowed instrument or a non-lyric vocal, instead of just everything being about the guitar. And Bo, of course, you know, he was able to help realize a lot of those things when we came to mixing the record and, you know, musical choices. I was like, how do we get that to sound you know, correct, or how do we get that to stand out in the mix? There's like a lot going on. So I don't know if Bo has anything to add.
Well, it was to go into that project was different from what I expected.
Okay, in what way?
Well, because Jim had talked about something, I expected it to be more like soundscapes
mm-hmm.
than actually melodies. From you had initially talked about, you had a collaboration with a writer who was writing a novel or something, right?
Right.
And that was kind of where I thought that was the album we were going to make, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for some reason, that wasn't that. So,
well, it's interesting what you were saying, because one of the people Navi Navag on viola, which one of my favorite players. I mean, her tone is to die for. And she's featured a lot on this album, and it's very, the melodies that you've written are very lyrical. And then even the guitar things that you're doing, I notice it's more, there's, not that you don't play melody in, you know, before, but not as much, I noticed that there's, it's hard to, I don't know how to explain it, but you're focusing, the focus is more on the melody rather than just, you know, just virtuosity in terms of playing. And I'm not talking about necessarily speed, but you do on your albums, you do some real, well, you do it on this album too, you do some interesting syncopated counter rhythms and stuff with the art when you arpeggiate and stuff, and we're going to talk about that. But it's just an interesting mix, and a lot of other colors, strings, voices. You're doing a lot of really cool things. And Randy on bass, amazing tone. That he does both on acoustic bass and on electric bass. So I just wanted to throw that out there too. But you can tell there's a difference, and it's a very, I agree, it's a very melodic album. And it's, I just like that you're pushing the boundaries, you're going out there and expanding. And I think that it's, well, let's just play for everybody what I'm talking about. I think I've said enough. We need to take a look at this. I'm going to play the opening cut, which is Saint Tropez, and it has. What I want people to listen to out there is the mixture of the electric and classical guitars, how they play against each other on this clip. And if you want to mention anything for me to point out,
let me think on this piece. I definitely have some harmonized Spanish guitars, and then the middle section. I don't know how much of the clip you're playing, but. I do some kind of a David Gilmour kind of almost clean strat solo and some, you know, clean strat chords,
right,
and things.
That's another thing that they were doing, because I was talking to Jim last night, and I was like, he has sound effects in there, and it's really cool. That's a very Pink Floyd-y type of thing, and that was great. It's very cool. Now, I don't remember what I pulled from the clip. This is a long clip. But I don't know. I think there's some, you'll hear in the background some like, it's like a outdoor.
Yeah, I mean, there's like waves, and there's Ebo on here, and strat and nylon string.
All right, well, let's play the clip and then we'll get into more detail. This is Saint Tropez.
Thank you.
there's some really cool things that are happening. And first of all, the strums of the guitar, very subtle thing, but it's a perfect accent. And that tone is just so glassy. And then at the end of it, I mean, you have your regular classical guitar lead, and then you do the harmonizing. But then you have this electric lead that's just a great sound. And then of course there I had to keep in that little bass run that Randy did. It was really cool. But what were you using on that? Because that is an amazing sound.
Well,
I mean, it's really clean.
The acoustic guitar, I don't remember what Spanish guitar I played on that. But electric wise, it's a Fender Strat, where I'm using the I guess that kind of out of phase position that's near the bridge. That kind of the country position.
Right, right.
I'm using that for the clean glassy chords, and the lead is the neck pickup on the Strat through a Mesa Boogie, but all the clean chords is played through an iPad. It's the iPad Positive Grid bias software running on an iPad, going into like a Manly tube preamp, and then at the very end after the solo, there's an Ebo. With my Telecaster. Pickup on the Telecaster with some distortion, but it fades out around that time. I know Bo did some, he did some stuff on that, but I don't remember what he did with reverbs and delays. I'm putting Bo on the spot.
I'm trying to do this. Well, definitely on that clean Strat, there's a Pultec EQ.
Okay.
To give the 8K.
Right.
Probably plus 3 dB 8K on it, because even though it was bright, we made it even brighter.
It's just so glassy. I love that sound.
Because we want that. Yeah, I've had that sound, you know, since the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that sound.
And
I love that sound at this track.
And actually what's funny is I think the patch I used on the Positive Grid bias software was a patch that Dan Sistos, I think he sent me the file. Because he was experimenting with it, and Dan's a great guitarist. He played with Christina Aguilera on her first tour back in the day, and he's played with everybody. And anyway,
and he's on your album too.
Yeah, yeah. But Dan said, "Hey, you got to check this out," and he sent me the patch, and I think I even named it like Dan Sisto's clean, you know, clean sound. So he gave me that clean sound to try out, and then I of course messed around with it and ended up using it.
Yeah. Now that'll be interesting. Now I presume you're going to have to. Eventually, if you ever do that song live, you're going to have to use the iPad just to get that tone.
No, I could probably get it with like a Helix or a Boogie or something. I'm pretty sure I could.
Yeah, because your Boogie, the solo is pretty clean. It's not dirty at all.
Well, and actually the delay on the guitar solo on that, the digital delay that's in time with the track, I was actually using the TC little, the pedal. The TC delay, and I literally was listening to the track and turning the wheel on the pedal mm-hmm. to try to match the tempo.
Oh, very cool.
So I didn't do it in the computer. I actually printed the delay to my solo and hoped right. It was locked in.
Now, which Boogie was this? Was this the
that was the Mark V was the lead. All the backing electrics was the iPad Positive Grid.
And then how did you mic that? Was there anything particular?
The Boogie for the clean, it was a SM57 off axis, and then I think I had a Neumann TLM 103 mm-hmm. In the room, just maybe 3-4 feet away and about 3 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I record in my house. It's just a hardwood floor room, about 15 by 20 feet. So it just got what. It got what it got.
Now, when you were before you started recording, and this is a little bit of a tangent, I just really want to mention this because I'm curious how it affected your playing. You had told me you had bought new monitors. You had bought Neumann, if I'm correct, Neumann monitors?
Yeah, but those are turned off when I'm recording. I just have headphones on.
Okay, but I mean in learning, in listening and determining your sounds, did it make a difference?
Oh, no. You know what I did is I had my old monitors. They were like Events. That I used throughout, and it wasn't until about a few weeks before Bo came to mix my album that I upgraded to the Neumann monitors.
Oh, okay.
So all the recording was done by the time Bo got there.
Okay. And when you mixed it, what were you using for monitors?
Bo? The Neumanns.
You did use the Neumanns.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've heard about these guys. I haven't listened to them, but I heard
that. They're very bass heavy, though.
They are.
Yeah. You have to drive your bass really hard in them to the point where you think way too much, dude.
And then it's
and then
right.
You're okay.
You're
then
okay.
You're good.
That's interesting. Well, I'm going to play another clip, and this is Caravan of Souls, and this is features Navi on viola. And before I go in there, do you know what guitar you used on this one?
I believe the guitar on this track was a 2015 Pedro Maldonado flamenco guitar. For the melody, and there's these arpeggios. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the guitar, 2015.
Now, how did you mic that, or do you remember?
I think I mic'd it with, I think for that song, I used a 4033 Audio Technica, just mono. I kept changing the way I was miking mm-hmm. stuff the whole record. I couldn't decide.
All right, well, let's play this clip. It's a beautiful, and you'll see why Navi's so good. Just her tone is just... Now, she sent you the clip, so she did her own recordings.
Right? Yeah, her husband, Larry Tuttle, did the engineering for her.
Okay, let's play. This is Caravan of Souls. Now, those guitars are just so crystal clear. I mean, it's the articulation on them is just exact. And then, like you were saying, you were talking about this before the show, the melodic content, you can just hear that it's like it's that lyric content of Navi's line on there. It's just beautiful, nice and legato thing. But I also like the fact that when the other guitars come in, And it's one of the things I've noticed on the album a lot. You do this like finger picking accompaniment, but it's counterpunctal to it. It syncopates with with what you're doing on your guitar, whether it's a line or it has an interesting feel. Now I want to ask Bo, how did you approach this mix of that? I mean, because there's an interesting space and it's very clear, and you have a lot of percussion going on in there, but it's. The percussion is mixed into, and my impression is it's in your face, which is great because it's just it's real present. But was there problems? And I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there, and there's a lot of high end material.
Oh, this is definitely it was a challenge in some way because was trying it and couldn't get those guitars to sit well. And I wanted them before, and the trick was really there's a two part to that trick, and it comes from a Dutch company called Fab Filter, who makes a EQ called Pro Q 2, which is an amazing new EQ. First of all, it's great overall, but specifically what you could do with this thing is there's an old school trick that when you use a low pass or a high pass filter. That in your crossover point, about 10 hertz above your crossover point, you put another EQ on to bump your crossover point. So when you get rid of the rumble, you sometimes, especially in an acoustic instrument, mm-hmm. you lose some of the body.
when you get rid of the very low end, even though there's not really any programming material in there, but it's really...
Right.
But to get rid of the rumble, to make it push it forward, then you bump it. But the problem with that is when you do it the old school way, you do get a little bit of a phase issue.
Mm-hmm.
Where Pro Q2 is one of the... Actually, I think it's the only EQ I really know of where you can drag the crossover point positive. It's really very... And bring back the body and the girth of the instrument. And it's, and then the second part of their, from the same company, a Fab Filter, they have a limiter, Pro Limiter,
mm-hmm.
which was basically, I was almost going to say that saved this whole record. it sounds weird to say that, but when we actually, we didn't have those pieces of software installed initially when we started mixing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, no, we need this stuff. So I brought it in, I installed it in the studio, and boom, I could just push these guitars way up front using that limiter where you can't hear it's limiting, you can't hear it does any change to the music, but it makes it glue and make it.
Yeah, because your attack... is yeah. right there, and yeah. if you're limiting, I'm not noticing it.
No,
I'm not
noticing you don't hear
squishing.
It. You really don't hear that limiter,
right?
And I'm pushing it,
right? That's amazing.
I am pushing it hard.
That's really. Amazing. Yeah, I mean, but it's in your face, and it's getting. You got what you're talking about achieving. Now, when you mic that, did you mic that pretty close, or did you pull the mic back?
I tend to mic my guitar about a minimum of about 12 inches away because I find that if I get the mic too close in the room I'm in, I get too much bottom end out of the guitar, and it ends up sounding really woofy.
Yeah.
So I usually try to get about a foot away from the mic at least.
Yeah. No, that Audio Technica, you can tell it's a great mic. But it sounds like it's right there.
Yeah, I mean, JP and Lisa present. From Incendio, they turned me on to the 4033. They said it's a good workhorse mic. And so I definitely use that mic on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you're really miking it close, but it's present. I mean, it's a great, and you use that on all the guitars, the rhythm guitars?
On everything. But you know, one thing I did a lot of is I used different guitar picks for different parts.
Oh,
like okay. Flat picks, like if I used a flat pick on a part as opposed to finger picking, I would actually use like there's a company called Blue Chip Picks. They make these guitar picks that are $100 each.
Wow,
they're amazing. So I have a few of those, and I have another company called Gravity Picks, and they make picks that are about $50 each. But there are these expensive boutique picks that are very customized, and I use them in the studio. Live, you don't want to use them because if you drop it, you just drop $50 and you can't find it. But in the studio, and they last forever. These picks last forever. So, but I use them in the studio for like specific sounds. So I know, okay, this gray pick, this gravity pick is great for arpeggios. This blue chip pick is great for leads if I want more of a rounded, mm-hmm. buttery, almost a jazzy lead guitar sound. And then, you know, I also use like a Dunlap Jazz 3, like Eric Johnson Jazz 3 for just my workhorse live. But I have basically the equivalent of the Eric Johnson Jazz 3 as a blue chip pick, which is a smoother, rounder sound, and the gravity pick, which is more of a cutting, biting sound.
Right.
But I would literally go, okay, well, let me try using the same guitar, but I'll use for this second guitar part, I'll use this different pick. And that's the only thing that's different. The mic's the same, the guitar's the same. I'm just literally using a different pick, and the difference is huge. Changing the pick.
I could see that. Now, but live, that Eric Johnson one, you just use one pick or do you use multiple?
Yeah, live I just use the Eric Johnson Jazz 3 for my electric and my acoustic. And then, of course, I do a lot of hand rhythms, you know, where I use my fingernails and fingers. But for the fast linear kind of fast picking, I tend to favor a smaller kind of jazz pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's interesting that that makes a difference. I've heard... I haven't used as much different picks in recording as much because it's like...
Oh, I went through a whole pick stage where I'm like looking at all these boutique companies like Chicken Picks and these Gypsy Jazz Picks and all these different things. You can go crazy with this stuff.
Yeah, but it does. I've just used the difference between using a heavy and a light.
Yeah, I mean, I'll use like if I'm doing a jangly steel string kind of thing, like a thin, like a Gibson thin, big fat... you know, like a large size pick that's like a thin pick for strumming, it's awesome for that stuff.
Yeah, you get more over.
But it's amazing what you can do with the same gauge pick, but just different materials, like Tortex versus tortoiseshell versus acrylic. You know, all the same gauge, all the same mm-hmm. size, just the different material on the mm-hmm. same guitar. It subtle differences when you're layering instruments.
All right, I'm going to play another clip that shows the interplay between this is electric guitar and Navi. This is Azure. Anything you want to mention really quick before we go into the clip?
This was a song that I wrote. When I wrote the melody, I was like, this melody needs to be played by like a violin or a viola. I didn't want to do the Joe Satriani kind of lead guitar kind of thing on there. So what I did, there is a guitar playing the chorus, but it's layered in with the piano. But there is electric guitar, which is the Fender Strat in that kind of country position, playing the suspended chords.
And that's you're using the...
I think I'm using the positive grid bias for that as well for the clean. I think I layered it with the Mesa Boogie. But it's just doing these arpeggio chords,
right.
Real subtle in the background, but the viola is the main...
All right, let's take a listen to this. This is an interesting, it's a beautiful clip. Now that one, the guitar, that the rhythm type of guitar where you're kind of strumming and
picking
that's just like David Gilmour. No, it had that Pink Floyd feel.
Yeah, you know what I always think this song to me kind of reminds me like what I was thinking of kind of like a rainy day in like England or something. It has like to me like a British progressive rock kind of sad. Rainy day in England kind right. of vibe to me. I don't know why. I guess I just kind of heard it that way. And this was a song where Bo, I think, really, when you hear it on great speakers, it just sounds so huge. And I forget what you were using. You were using some spatial expander or something.
We were doing a lot of stuff. First of all, the kick drum. There's two kick drums in here. You have alternate where you have the kick that was recorded. Then on some of the other part, some of the beats, I added a sub kick, really down 16 hertz. So when you hear it, it's go boom, boom, and that's getting really loud. So that's one thing. Yeah, and then we used, which we did on the other track too. I used two pieces of software from Nugent Audio. One is called Stereo Placer. The other one is Stereo Riser.
Mm-hmm.
Stereo Placer is an interesting piece of software where you can pan frequency bands.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at it, you can say all my 200 hertz go left, all my 400 hertz go right, and in between, and you can click a button and it'll take, say, if my 400 hertz is my fundamental, it'll take all the harmonics and do the same thing to them, but on a lesser scale. So basically you can take a mono track, say like a conga track that was recorded in mono, and say, well, the low conga you need to go over there and the high goes over here and the rest of it.
Wow. I mean, I remember years ago Orban Parasound had a stereo synthesizer that kind of crudely did that, but that's kind of
but
cool.
But then that's different. And then the Stereo Riser from Nugent Audio, you take even the pads and you can widen them, and you have two ways of doing it. First of all, you have, like, you know, when you'll be listening in stereo, or we can hear the direction of sound where it's coming from because of the delay between one ear and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But not only you can adjust the delay psychoacoustically, one way you also hear the direction is because where you hit the ear first is louder than the other ear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another psychoacoustic thing that you can dial in with this piece of software, the loud part of the sound when it hits the ear together with the delay. But then you can also adjust the frequency range you want to attach this to. So when you look at the whole thing and say, no, everything under 400 mm-hmm. hertz, don't mm-hmm. do anything. Everything above 8,000, mm-hmm. don't do that. Or do it in Sirius and say everything goes super wide from 6K and up to 10K,
mm-hmm.
and then have another one that takes lower and do
more narrow
through that. And it's all monocompatible. It doesn't do...
It keeps you in phase.
It keeps you in phase, no problems whatsoever. So there's... And actually, with the guitars and even some of the distorted guitars, we actually ran them
mm-hmm.
through more distortions through the mixing process than even though they were recorded with distortion.
Oh, it's a beautiful... It's a good mix. And you got this bass line going in there, too, and it worked.
Well,
that was tough. I'm like, how did he
do that? I think you ran it to a tube screamer, didn't you?
Well, yeah. Part of the bass usually in this kind of... Well, I do that in a lot of my mixes. I duplicate the bass track and have one, and I get the bass nice, and I like it that way. Then I have my duplicate thing where I cut up a lot of the... I cut off low end under... Again, 300, 400 hertz, and run that into a tube screamer or some kind of, and do some parallel distortion. Adds a little bit of chorus to it as well.
Yeah.
And then I mix that in, tuck that in.
And get
under,
that growl.
And when you have
a little edge to it.
And then we gain right the various things. And when he does some of the runs, we mix more of it into the bass yeah. sound and take it out again when he just.
Because you're still finishing a line, and he's like.
Yeah, it's almost like you could go crazy with that and make it like Chris Squire if you wanted to, just like.
Well, because in the mix you can't just push the bass because that would just.
Well, no, I'm just amazed because there's a lot going on at that turnaround, and he's playing that bass line, and it works. I mean, that could have easily been clustered up and muddied, and it came out. I could hear everything, but it worked. I mean, that's because you guys are all doing a lot of stuff at that same time.
Yeah, there's like four different guitars playing different arpeggio patterns at the
right,
same
right,
time,
right.
And electric piano, and a loop, and real percussion, and violin. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, that's not easy to mix. I know that to get that clarity, and I heard all of it. When you play this back, everybody out there listening, because you can hear that at that very end when that bass line goes through. There's a lot of stuff going on there, but it's all clear and it all makes sense and it fits. And that to me is good. Well, we're halfway through. There's just so much stuff to talk about. I want to play a clip real quick just to show. This is our good friend Eric Hansen. This is a clip from Cafe Cafe with the duet. I just wanted, and then I'm going to go into. Voyager Aeternum, and I have some questions for both of you of that. But anything about Cafe Cafe that you want to mention before I play it?
This one, Eric Hansen, a great guitarist from South Florida, he guested on my last CD, Encantado, and I asked him to guest on this song on this record. So I recorded all my guitar parts, and then he added his part, and mm-hmm. then he takes a solo, and I take a solo, and we harmonize, and all that jazz.
It's really nice stuff. And, well, both of you guys are great players and a good synergy between both of you. So here's Cafe Cafe. Thank you. great interaction between you. The first lead is you, and the darker kind of guitar sound, it's a little darker sounding, is Eric, if I'm correct. And then he does those little answers on the top, which are really, really nice. It was really interesting.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Great playing. Now, because I'm trying to get through a bunch of this stuff. Now I got a question for you. We're going to play Voyager Aeternum. And my question to Bo, I'm going to play the clip and you can answer after the clip, is the delay setup. There's a classical guitar solo going on. You got to listen real carefully because you'll hear a delay go to one side and one to the other. So there's like a multi-delay thing in stereo. And then I talked about this earlier, but I'll ask it on the air. There's a thing at the very end where you hear like this drone single note type of thing, if I'm correct, is if it's the Ebo and how you set up that sound, because it sounds almost synthetic. There's a lot of harmonic content on it. It doesn't sound like a straight Ebo.
Yeah, I'll have to hear, because it also might be the arpeggio of the synthesizer I'm playing that we're running through some filters.
Okay.
So I'll have to hear it.
All right, so this is Voyager Aeternum. And just some, again, this is some great stuff. It's really cool. There is the genius of Bo there. That's a great space. I mean, we're hearing it here on for playing on the show in headphones, so you can really hear it. But that guitar is like ping-ponging around as you're doing your lead. But there's this real dense, dark opening. There's a lot of stuff going on in this song. And then you have the viola. And then there's a sound that sounds to me, I used to get it out of my ARP synthesizer. It was kind of like a square wave type of thing, but that's the Ebo.
Yeah, the thing that the viola is playing this longer melody, but then there's like you said, that square wave kind of sound that plays a little more sparse than the viola. It holds a note and then goes down and then goes up and then goes higher. That's the Ebo. With distortion and
so what are you using on the Ebo? Which guitar, and then what were you using?
I'm using the neck pickup I have a Telecaster with two humbuckers in it. Mm-hmm. It's a Fender Telecaster that actually they made, I don't think they make it anymore, but it actually came stock with two humbuckers, And so I'm using the neck pickup with distortion going through like the positive grid bias with Ebo on it. I added it after pretty much everybody had added their stuff. I said, you know, the song needs something there. This is kind of a build before the solo. So I decided to introduce this extra counter melody that I did with the Ebo.
Right. And understand, too, I'm pulling... Even these clips are 2 minutes. These songs are like 7 minutes.
Yeah, I think that song's 8.5 minutes. Yeah.
So they're long songs, and you'll hear more of the Ebo becomes very prominent in certain sections of it. But what was going on in the bottom? There's like an arpeggiated something. There was a guitar in there, but there was something else. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, there's a synth, and Jim had played that synth and listened to it, and I was kind of thinking... 6 minutes. That's long.
Six minutes of that synth part going over and over again, yeah.
That's long. So what I did was I actually took it home to my place and added a Yamaha CP70.
Okay.
The electronic Yamaha piano, because it had that quality to the sound, but it wasn't quite as attack sounding like the actual CP70 right. was. So I doubled the part on the CP70, but ran that in through a new reverb called Adaptive Reverb from Synaptic. And what stands out with Synaptic's Adaptive Reverb is they're using artificial intelligence. So... You know, when you have really long reverb tails and mm-hmm. you have multiple and you have chord changes, it'll just mesh it up and you'll have this big buildup of noise. So what Adaptive Reverb does, it looks at the incoming pitches and remove, if you change the pitch, mm-hmm. it will say, oh, this note is not longer, which it's still in the reverb tail, but this is no longer incoming, so I will remove that note from the reverb tape.
Wow. So that's scary.
That's why I did literally when we were mixing this record, I sat behind Bo and just like, I'm not even going to say anything because I don't even know what's going on.
That's
it looked like
scary.
He was good landing
a
space shuttle.
You could never do that.
You cannot actually with this piece of software, just that reverb, because you can change the way it responds throughout just manipulating. There's people who have made really inspiring. Just take a piece of white noise, run through
right.
it, but made a 10-minute song just by changing it, and it actually becomes, because you filter out parts of the frequency range and all becomes
that's,
a computer.
That's
but anyway,
amazing.
So we use that, and then I'm using it throughout the track to start with Jim's original, mixing some of the CP70 in, mixing the other stuff out, and then they go back, and then... When we come back into the very end, which we didn't play, it runs out into where I'm taking the direct track down. So all of a sudden, the only thing you hear at the very end is just reverbs.
Yeah.
Only the effects, no direct
sound. No dry sound, yeah.
It comes more and more. And then the delay thing is another FabFilter plugin called Timeless 2, which is the greatest electronic delay line I've had in a long time, because it really does react like an old tape delay. It even have saturations built
into
it.
How did you set it? Is it going to like one side
yeah,
or the other?
Yeah, the real cool thing is you can tempo the tempo log it into the DAW, but then you can say left. Go down 3%, right, be 3% faster. So you get that, or go.
So you get these things.
And probably one of them, I will usually do that in triplets. One side and the other side will be on quarter notes or wherever, but not totally locked onto the quarter note. It'll probably be either little faster or a little slower.
Yeah.
And then with the delay with Timeless, you have LFOs built into it, and those LFOs can control some of these things, so you can do variations. So it slightly will vary from one side will slightly be before the beat and after the beat and go forward, back. And so it's not just you set it and forget it.
Mm-hmm.
you basically use your delay as an instrument.
It just adds a whole space.
And then, as you can hear, we mix it in and out. Let it comes in and makes it more prominent, but we feel like it. And then
That's one of the best. I was impressed. That was just killer. Okay, we're almost out of time, so I want to play real quick. I want to play your duet with Stephen Duros because I just love this. This is just a straight, just in Moksha Summer. Am I pronouncing that right?
Moksha Summer.
Moksha.
Yeah, Moksha Summer.
She's on the vocals on here. You'll hear some of it at the tail end, but I mainly have the lead. It's just great. What you and Stephen are doing is just it's just all out guitar. I mean, and my mouse won't work. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to play this real quick, and then we'll set up for the big clip for the end. Let's see, where is it? This is Oculus. There we go. Great blend of two different guitar approaches. I mean, very playing similarly, but it just melodically, you guys, it's interesting. It's a real interesting thing that and then there was something going on, whether it was the kick drum or something. Did you process that? Did you dirt that up a little bit?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah, Brian Brock did percussion on that track. He did a wonderful job.
Oh, it's awesome. Awesome. Anyway, we're out of time. As I told you, it would go by fast, and I'm saving the best for last. This is a great clip. This is between this is another duet with both electric and acoustic guitar, classical guitars, with Jim and Dan Sistos, and set that up a little bit real quick.
Okay, so basically, I wrote this rumba, kind of a Gypsy King style rumba or whatever you want. And I'd written a lot of them over the years. And I said, well, let me do something different with this one. So both Dan and I love Yngwie Malmsteen. You know, we grew up listening to his shredding guitar. And I said, let's see if we can, you know, add like kind of like neoclassical electric guitar kind of stuff into a standard rumba. So you have this kind of syncopated rumba beat with these like 16th note. So there's a harpsichord part in there. There's gothic vocals. But it's an instrumental piece. And Bo, of course, it was a challenge, and he did a great job mixing all these instruments.
this is an excellent album. Now, the album's called Guitar Mystique, and it's available everywhere. Real quick, where are you playing? Anything coming up? Any dates coming up?
Not for me as a solo artist, but Incendio, my band with JP and Lisa and Tim Curl and a lot of other awesome people. We have a show in Santa Clarita at the I think it's called the Main. It's a theater. Mm-hmm. A week from Saturday, and you can go to incendiomusic.com and there's a schedule. We play probably about 100 shows a year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll be doing some solo stuff soon, but nothing's on the schedule.
And Bo, anything, what's coming up with you? Can you talk about any of your new projects?
Well, I can talk about that. I'm doing some trainings, some of these techniques,
So we are putting on some trainings eventually with these here in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Is that, can they get the information from boastrup.com?
There will be popsproductions.com, popsproductions.com.
Productions.com. And then also, too, guitaraexotica.com is Jim's.
Is it guitaraexotica.com or jimstubblefield.com? Either one will work.
Okay, so and it has everything about the new album on there. I was looking at it the other day.
And I have sheet music for sale, note for note transcriptions of yes. even this song.
Of this, you got to get this is great. Anyway, thank you guys again for coming on.
Thanks
this
for
is
having
always
us. Thanks for having
awesome.
Us.
I always learn so much from both of you guys. This is Rumba Furiosa Opus 2. And this is the end part. Remember, these are long songs, so I'm going to play the whole thing out to the end. And this is it's some just great guitar playing, and I can't recommend more. You got to get this album. This album's great. Everybody, have a great night. Thanks, Rosalind and Doug, for coming by and hanging with us. And we'll see you guys next week. Take care.